the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number four, Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we look forward to catching up a little bit later this hour with Catholic coach Steve Matthews. Big addition to the Fighting Irish schedule as they will welcome private school Trinity Christian from Texas to Knoxville August 29th. The offensive coordinator, Deion Sanders, one of his sons, starting quarterback, three straight state championships in the private school classification for Trinity Christian, which again will take the place of what would have been a trip to Kentucky for Catholic. All Kentucky high school football will not start before September 11th, so that is why they had the opening on their schedule. Jimmy Hyams, we know that Tennessee is going to play at Auburn.
Yes.
As one of the two additions to their schedule. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. I could understand Auburn coming to Knoxville, but to me, I don't know how you land on Tennessee going to Auburn for a second time in three seasons.
Well, I have a conspiracy theory, which apparently is working right now, because when you look at it, how did Georgia get Arkansas and Mississippi State? Those two teams aren't very good. Alabama gets Missouri and Kentucky. It's almost like they're making sure that the better teams in the SEC – or having the easiest path to perhaps at the college football playoff. So that's how. How's that for conspiracy theory? I'm not opposed to Tennessee and Auburn because of the series having been played from 56 to 91, something like that. But the home and the home situation and the road on this one, so Auburn's other game, they're going to host Tennessee and go to South Carolina.
Yes.
If I saw that right, yeah.
Yep.
So
you are correct. So the reveal is taking place as we speak. Say that again, Sam, as I speak to home against Missouri at Vanderbilt for LSU.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We will get everything situated and let you know as soon as we know. But again, we know that Tennessee will take a trip to Auburn as part of the games 9 and 10 as the schedules are being revealed right now by the Southeastern Conference. Again, Steve Matthews is going to join us later this hour. Right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what is the wonderful prize that is up for grabs this evening?
We're giving away a $50 gift certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. That is located at 5821 Babelay Road. That is not too far from where I was yesterday, the Food City out at Loves Creek. It's not too far from there. So you'll have an opportunity to win that if you can answer this trivia question. All right, which pro golfer has the longest active streak of making the cut in majors? Which golfer, PGA Tour, has the longest active streak of making the cut in majors?
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, great, Danny. Hope you're doing well.
I am. What golfer? I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
It's not Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Sure do appreciate it, Danny. Let's go next to Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I'm going to go Greg McElroy.
It's not McElroy.
All right. Hey, Tennessee is getting home. Score.
Well, we'll be interested to see exactly who the second opponent is, but, again, it makes no sense to me whatsoever that Tennessee goes to Auburn as one of their two additional games. Who's our next caller? Let's go to Toby. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Toby.
Hey, gentlemen. Hope you guys are having a great day.
Yes, sir. Hope the same for you.
I'm going to just throw a stab at somebody off the charts, maybe, and say Jim Furyk.
Not Jim Furyk.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Toby. Who's next? Eric is up next. Hello, Eric.
Hello, guys. I did not get a chance to hear the question. I was actually calling in when he read the question. Could you repeat it for me, please?
Which PGA golfer has the longest active streak of making a cut in the majors? That streak right now is at 22. And, by the way, Tennessee's playing Auburn and Texas A&M. Wow.
Wow. It's rigged. That just blowed my mind. That just threw me off track, Jimmy.
Which golfer, longest active streak of making the cut in the majors?
And while Eric thinks about the answer for a quick second, we can tell you that Tennessee at Auburn, Tennessee home for Texas A&M. That's a pretty tough draw.
Yes, it is. Yep. Conspiracy.
I don't know. Bubba Watson.
Not Bubba Watson.
Thank you. Have
we
a good
sure
day,
do
guys.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Jimmy, repeat the question if you would again.
Name the golfer in the PGA Tour that has the longest active streak of making the cuts in the majors. He has made 22 consecutive cuts.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. It's Chris who's next. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? I'd like to guess Koepka.
It is Koepka. Koepka, 22 in a row, has the longest active streak of any player as far as cuts made in majors. Hey, Chris, congratulations to you. You've won a $50 gift certificate to 865 Axe Throwing. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you.
Thank you, guys.
Sure do appreciate it, Chris. Hang on the line so we can get your information. And congratulations on winning the Sports Fix at 6. We'll get a break and be back with more today. Actually, what we'll do is we'll run through the schedule reveal as it's been, and we're going to push Coach Matthews back just a little bit later in the hour. So we look forward to talking with him about the big-time, prime-time opponent that's coming from Texas to Knoxville. But up next, more on the schedule reveal as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We are here at Food City in Alcoa, 121 North Hall Road, and we have the keyword that's here for you to text in to 68683. You now have a grand total of 43 minutes to get that in because it has to be texted in while the show is on the air. We will have two finalists from today's registration, so come on out to Food City, Alcoa on Hall Road. And you could be, when all is said and done, the grand prize winner and get season tickets to Tennessee football, Vols and Lady Vols basketball, Tennessee baseball, Tennessee softball, the Titans, Ice Bears, and more. But come on out. That's where we are this afternoon. We'll remind you that it's limit one entry per remote, one qualifier per household, and you must be 18 or older to participate. But it's the Big Ticket 2020 is presented by Food City and, of course, a great partner for us in Food City. We appreciate all that they help us do, and we also say the same thank you to Body Armor. And at Food City, of course, you have deals for days, today and tomorrow. Take advantage of the circular that has all the savings when you enter the store here at Food City, and you could get more than $155 in savings. If you buy everything that's on sale, Jimmy Hyams, you will save more than $150 with your Food City value card.
That's a tremendous deal, and I can tell you from shopping at Food City, they have not only great prices, the quality is outstanding, the certified Angus beef, the seafood, you can grill all of that. They have a great selection. They've got a great bakery there as well. Boy, you can't go wrong with Food City. It is phenomenal. And also, by the way, you can get Body Armor drinks there.
Yes, you can. And so come on out, because the grand prize for the big ticket will be given away next week. So, Jimmy, we've seen the schedule revealed, and again, Tennessee will play at Auburn and then play host to Texas A&M. That's going to be a scene.
Well, that's a tough schedule for Tennessee. When you look at it, when you add A&M to the equation, which is a top 15 team, this will be Jimbo Fisher's best team. And then you add Auburn, so you got two top 15 teams that you're adding to a schedule that includes Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So you've got five teams that are going to be in most preseason top 15s. That is tough. I had got a call, I mentioned this earlier multiple times, I got a call Friday night when we left the Food City there off John Sevier Highway, where a guy from University of Tennessee said, I heard Tennessee's playing Texas A&M. I was never able to confirm it, but by golly, he was right. I didn't hear a whole lot of talk about Auburn other than it would be interesting if they played Auburn, because that was a series that they had had from 56 to 91. So anyway, when I look at this, John, there's no question Tennessee got a tough draw. Arkansas also got a tough draw, as they're playing two preseason top 10 teams in Georgia and Florida. So the tough draws were given to those teams that are not projected to be top 15 or top 20 teams.
Yeah.
I don't think A&M's draw is all that easy either. They got Tennessee and Florida. But the best team in the league, Alabama, gets Missouri and Kentucky. Georgia, one of the best teams in the league, gets Arkansas and Mississippi State. And LSU gets Vanderbilt and Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So the three best teams in the league don't get anybody that's preseason ranked. Just saying.
Yeah. It actually looks like you could certainly make the case, because it is a tremendous coincidence if it is indeed not the plan.
Yeah. I mean, that helps pay the way. And so now when you look at Tennessee's schedule, I mean, they can go 5-5 and have a pretty good football team. Because they don't beat any of the top 15 teams that they play. They beat everybody else, so they go 5-5. Wow. That's tough. That is a tough draw for Tennessee. They would much prefer Ole Miss and LSU to this, because Tennessee, in my opinion, would beat Ole Miss. This is hard.
Boy, it sure is. I agree with you in the sense that I can appreciate Tennessee getting to add to its Auburn rivalry that used to be the first big game for Tennessee for the longest time in SEC play before the Eastern Division came around. And so I also can't fathom why Tennessee at Auburn. They just were there 2 years ago. It should be Auburn coming here. But then again, you would be going to Texas A&M, game against A&M in the conference has been in College Station.
Right. So that might be the answer that you would get from the SEC, which begs the question, why those two? I don't know. Nobody really knows the answer. And by the way, they did not set a date on who's playing when. You know where, but the date has not been set to my knowledge. I've been looking at the schedules, and they don't say when. Somebody asked me, is Tennessee opening the season against Florida? I don't know. I don't know who the September 26th opponent's going to be. I'm not sure how they're going to finagle that. And I don't know if they're trying to work in plugging in open dates with these opponents or plugging in a non-conference team, that's probably too hard to do. I think, and this is what I had been told they were going to do, they were going to completely reshuffle the deck. And so that means Tennessee not necessarily playing Florida September the 26th or Missouri October 3rd or South Carolina October the 10th. I don't know what it's going to look like. We just now know who the teams are. We just don't know when they're going to play them. Yeah.
So you think Sam Pittman is having a fun Friday afternoon?
Probably as much fun as Randy Wiley had when he found out he wasn't having a fall season at Carson Newman in golf. That's the toughest one, Georgia and Florida. How could you get any harder than that?
Right.
You're playing the two best teams in the East. Thank you very much. So Arkansas gets those two, as well as A&M, Alabama, LSU, and Auburn. Gosh. Well, at least he doesn't have to play Notre Dame at South Bend. Man. Look, you knew people would be upset. You knew there's not a great way to do it.
Right.
I was in the camp that said, just go ahead and play the next two conference game cross-division teams on your schedule for the next 2 years. They obviously did not opt to do that. And I don't know how many of them they even honored in terms of that. I'd have to look at that, and I've got the schedule here. I don't know how long it would take me to figure all that out. Florida was going to play A&M, so they honored that one. Georgia had Mississippi State and Arkansas, so they left Georgia where Georgia was.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, Ole Miss, that was the one, all right, that they left.
And Alabama.
Missouri. What's that?
Kentucky gets Alabama as well.
No, but I'm saying Ole Miss was going to be one of their cross divisions.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, over the next 2 years.
Right.
So they kept Ole Miss on there. At LSU, let's see what they did with LSU. Kentucky and Tennessee, neither one. They changed both of their next two crossover opponents. At Ole Miss, they changed they got Kentucky, so they still get Kentucky. Mississippi State still gets Vanderbilt and Georgia, so they left Mississippi State the same. So that did not change. Let's see what Missouri looks like. A&M and Auburn, and they changed both the Missouris. In South Carolina, they kept Auburn. So there's just a mixture on here. There's not a rhyme or reason. A&M kept Florida, which obviously means Florida kept A&M. Let's see what Vanderbilt's got. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State stayed the same. So in some cases, there's one crossover opponent that stayed, and in many cases, it's neither one of them. So,
yeah,
it's all over the map. There's not
it really
a
is
rhyme or reason.
And we know that the Southeastern Conference has never gotten high marks for being transparent in regards to decision-making and policies and things like that. I know they fancy themselves as transparent, and I think that they actually have the spirit to want to be. I just wonder whether or not we will hear anything from the conference as to how exactly they measured who would play, which teams would add which teams to their schedule.
Well, and nobody's in the conference office right now, I'm sure, so you're not going to get an answer until Monday in regard to that. Maybe Vince was right, except he was an hour off. Vince Ferrara, we said they're going to announce it at 7:02. He's pretty darn close to when they announced it. But anyway, it's interesting to look at this and to continue to try to dissect it and to figure out why you kept some games the way you did and why you changed some.
Yeah, let's take just a quick moment and run through exactly who has added who. Tennessee will host Texas A&M, and as you mentioned, we have not heard when. We do know where, but we don't know when in terms of date and time. But Tennessee will host Texas A&M, go to Auburn. As far as just starting at the top alphabetically, Alabama home to Kentucky at Missouri. Arkansas, home to Georgia at Florida. Auburn, home to Tennessee at South Carolina. Florida, home to Arkansas at Texas A&M. Georgia, home to Mississippi State at Arkansas. You have Kentucky, home to Ole Miss at Alabama. You have LSU, home to Missouri at Vanderbilt. Missouri, home to Alabama at LSU, Mississippi State, home to Vanderbilt, at Georgia, Ole Miss, home to South Carolina, at Kentucky. South Carolina gets Auburn in Columbia, plays at Ole Miss. Texas A&M plays host to Florida, and at Tennessee. And then Vanderbilt plays host to LSU and plays at Mississippi State. I don't know why, and again, as you point out, some were the next two opponents they were to face from their cross division, and others completely different. Tennessee makes a return trip to Auburn, which they did in the 2018 campaign. The fact that there is no rhyme or reason, it just leaves the door open as to exactly how they did this. Was it a dartboard? Was it ping pong balls, as Brent Hubbs perhaps alluded to yesterday?
I think it was axe throwing.
Yes, that would have been perfect.
Our prize today, axe throwing. Yeah, that's what it was. I don't know. I just don't see a rhyme or reason to it, other than I do find it very interesting that the three teams that are supposed to be the best teams in the SEC got the easiest draws.
So I guess they're – let's see. I'm trying to think. Would there be the possibility that one team wound up being a part of the schedule either last year or next year? I'm actually not even going to continue my thought to try and make sense of it, because there is no way to do it. But what we will do is take a break. Again, let this digest. When we return, we'll catch up with Catholic coach Steve Matthews as there's an opponent on the way from the Lone Star to take on the Fighting Irish the end of August. He joins us next. Steve Matthews does on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
50 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, where we get to say hello to Catholic coach Steve Matthews as the season is 2 weeks away, and it's certainly been a very interesting offseason. But, Coach, always great to catch up. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing quite well. Coming off the practice field, how did things go for the green and gold?
It was okay. We had a kicking game practice today, and we're able to get a lot in. And it's obviously extremely hot, so able to do a lot of mental work in the kicking game.
Well, I know that you and the team can't wait to take the field, and I also know that now that the roadmap is in front of you, know exactly who you were going to play. You were able to take what was lemons and make lemonade. You had a spot open the second game on your schedule. You were going to go up to Kentucky for the second straight year. High school football in the Commonwealth got pushed back to the second week in September. So how did you land on an incredible team and program that will now come to Knoxville in Trinity Christian Cedar Hill?
Yeah, just, it's one of those things. There was I was down in the Under Armour game in Orlando, and was able to kind of meet some people, and of course Dion is a big part of that. And so I've been in touch back and forth with the guy I met down there, and he put us together more than anybody, and they needed a game, and we needed a game, and it worked out, and we're excited. They're an outstanding team and going to be a huge challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
How long was that in the works, Steve, before you can put a game together like that?
Not very long. It honestly was a couple phone calls, and now it's now we're off and running. So it really came together quite quickly. They're going to bus up here, I think stay the night, somewhere outside of Knoxville, and then drive in a little bit that day. But it worked out really well, and it's hopefully going to be a great night for everybody.
Is this going to be a televised game?
You know, we're hoping so. We're still working on that part of it, but we hope so.
And is it going to be Friday night?
That's I think we're still working on that as well, too. We don't know if it'll be a Friday or Saturday.
So who did you talk to at Trinity to get this done, or was it your athletic director?
It was Jason Service, our athletic director, handled some of it. I kind of got the ball rolling, and he handled some of it, and it went from there.
Boy, it has to be something, and I guess, did they wind up with this date open, obviously? What has it been like? Because I know that this has just been such a crazy offseason to get a feel for what was scheduled versus who you will wind up playing when all is said and done.
Yeah, it is. There's still some games we're maneuvering around and things like that with Davidson County possibly starting a little bit late. We originally had Ensworth there week three in the beginning of September, and so we're trying to work something out with them. But it's been hectic and crazy, but we're working hard to get 10 games.
Well, and I realize that it is perhaps going to remain a fluid situation, but considering that last year's trip to Kentucky was your shortest trip for Catholic when it came to road games and even the playoffs, how concerned are you as a coach in just trying to figure out what's going on, whether it be Hamilton County or Davidson or wherever you are set to play this year?
Yeah, that's, some of it is just part of it. If they make decisions that don't match up with what we're doing, the words we keep using around here are adjust and adapt. You know, you can't complain about it. You can't worry about it. It's just one of those things in this day and age that you have to deal with. So we're just adjusting and adapting to whatever comes our way. But I do like our schedule right now. Hopefully we'll get Ensworth settled in somewhere. But, as far as travel goes, it's much easier this year.
Well, hey, I don't think that it could be much more difficult than it was last year.
You're probably right.
But it's also a part of being in the region that you're in now that you do have these opponents that have a long way, whether it's coming to play here in Knoxville or when you guys hit the road for the teams that you hosted last year. What is that challenge like in regards to just, again, keeping tabs on how much have you spoken or have you spoken with many of your region rivals this off season?
Well, yeah, when we first got in this league, I talked to a few of them, and I really underestimated how difficult the travel was going to be. All of them were like, listen, when you go over 3 hours in a bus ride, it's probably worth 10 points, if you're compared to staying at home, being on the road. I was skeptical about that, but after doing it last year, it seemed like anything that could go wrong did. Whether it's traffic in and out of Nashville, we dealt with traffic going through Chattanooga, pregame meals not happening right. So it was one thing after another last year. But you learn from it, you move on, and hopefully we'll have better luck with it this year.
Steve, do you see it as a compliment to your program that a highly touted program from Texas would come to Knoxville to play you?
I really do. That's one thing we're trying to build. I try to tell our players that we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. We're not going to run from any team, regardless of who they are. And before I became a head coach, I read a book by Bobby Bowden. That was kind of one of his things, that he would go on the road when Florida State was still building his program. And I always kind of remembered that and thought, well, that's how you get better. That's how you build your program, mm-hmm. is playing the best teams. And that's the approach we've taken here.
So have you already watched film of Shadir Sanders, Deion's son?
Yeah, he's outstanding. Saw him on YouTube. There's a game on YouTube, and it was kind of scary. He started the game 12 for 12. So I definitely got to see how good he is.
Well, when did you do that? I mean, was this in the process of the scheduling and you decided to watch some of this?
No, this was yesterday. I looked it up on YouTube and I saw a game they played. There's a game on YouTube that they played, and it's actually an ESPN game. And so I looked at it then.
Well, in addition to Sanders going 12 for 12, what else impressed you about Trinity Christian?
you know, their speed on defense. They really get off the ball well. But you know, it's they're going to execute. They're going to be extremely well coached. I think they've won 39 out of 41 games. So in a tough league down there in Texas. So it'll be a challenge, no doubt. But you know, our guys are excited and we're ready, and you know, we'll give it all we got.
Coach, what was that experience like last year? Brentwood Academy came here. It really was an unbelievable, magical night for your program. But what was it like to have ESPN and your team on national television?
It was great. It was great for, you know, our community, you know, the Catholic community and our players, and just a great night. And obviously beating the four-time state champion in Brentwood Academy was icing on the cake. But, you know, a great night. I tell people, I bet I got more texts after that game than I did after our state championships. That's almost what it felt like after winning that game in front of a national audience.
Tell me, what will be the most difficult thing to replace from last year's group?
You know, I think immediately you think your offensive line with Brian Tucker and Cooper Mays, with those guys being gone, both outstanding players. So, you know, but we got some young guys that we think are going to come on and do a great job for us, and we're excited about what they're going to be able to accomplish.
What are your thoughts on Caden Martin?
I tell you, he's gotten a lot better. You know, last year he missed most of fall camp, and kind of won the job there halfway through the year. But now his understanding of the offense, the way he's throwing the ball, he really is night and day difference between last year. And I've already challenged him in that week two matchup that you know, he needs to be ready to go and fight to be the best quarterback on the field.
Well, because baseball was canceled, do you think he spent more time working on football to improve as a quarterback?
Yeah, I know he did. I know him and his father worked there during the shutdown period, and I think that definitely helped him tremendously working with T.
When you have guys that are going through this, first of all, as you mentioned, you had an incredible signing day last year, to where you had so many, not just Division I teams, but Power 5 teams represented. And just to see the coaches that come now to take a look at what is next for the Fighting Irish, how do you feel these young men, now that they've seen their teammates go through it, does that make it easier for them to handle it when Clemson comes calling, or Tennessee, or Alabama, or just fill in the blank?
Yeah, it really does. And number one, it, you know, as a coach, you can say, "Hey, I know what it looks like. We've all seen these guys and how good they are." And so you can tell a player now, "Hey, this is what you got to improve on if you want to be the Amari Rodgers or the Cooper Mays or Cade Mays or Brian Tucker or Tyler Barron. This is what those guys did to get to where they are." And so it makes our life a little bit easier. And I think it as a program, you know, I think other surrounding teams and other surrounding players can look at this and say, "Hey, they're putting out some pretty good players," and so it's obviously a good place to be and come and play football and get a great education.
How hard is it to believe that you still get two more years of Tommy Winton?
That's shocking. I was we were going through it the other day. You know, this year we'll probably, there's a chance we'll start five sophomores on offense, and the others are juniors, and possibly only one senior. So we're, you know, it feels like every year we're young, but a lot of guys with some skins under their belt that are really good players, and Tommy Winton's definitely one of them. And he's really working hard, and I think the sky's the limit for him.
And just managing this season, or I should say this off season, what has it been like? You did a nice job of catching up with some of your former players and sharing that as far as video calls and things. That was really cool on social media earlier this summer. But in terms of your current players, what's it been like to monitor them and the hopes that they stay safe and well?
It's been challenging, you know, just all the aspects of having to practice. First, when we were dividing them up and practicing in different pods and things like that, that was extremely challenging from a coaching staff standpoint. And then some of the little things, you know, we're not really letting them in the locker room now, and you know, and some of the little things, getting them water that you don't really think about, but because of the COVID, we're trying to be extra cautious. That are create a more demanding job from a coaching standpoint.
And as far as everything that is now in front of you, tell me, the fact that Tennessee has gone through its path in regards to positive tests and things like that, talking about the state, any concern in a team coming from Texas where we know that there have been outbreaks and things like that?
You know, that definitely was a thought, but, you know, the good news is their numbers have been dropping dramatically here in the last week. And, yeah, it's something we talked about with our athletic director and the president of our school, and we went over different scenarios and looked at all kinds of numbers and decided that, you know, this is going to work out, especially with them busing. Mm-hmm. And they haven't started school yet, which was also a factor. And so they don't start school, I think, until, I think they'll go to school one day before they come up here. So that also was a factor as far as, getting them up here.
What's on the to-do list? You're 2 weeks away from the start of the schedule. What's at the top of the list that you want to see your team take that next step in?
Yeah, you know, all of the above, really. It's, you know, it's a work in progress. Young team, but a good group, you know, a good group, a deep athletic group in some spots in the defensive backfield and at the receiver. So some things we're looking forward to as far as that's concerned. But, you know, as a coach, that first game, especially with no scrimmage, kicking game, you always worry about short yardage, offense, defense is always concerned, depth at certain positions, you know, red zone offense, all those things kind of seem to creep up on you as you get close to that first game.
Well, finally, this one going outside the box. Coach, what would your reaction be if you got a call from the conference that said you get to play at Auburn and home against Texas A&M with the 8 games you already had scheduled this fall? What would your reaction be?
Well, it could have been worse, but probably not much worse than that. I know those are both outstanding teams. So, but we wish them the best, you know, especially with all our guys there.
Yeah,
and I know they're going to do great, and you know, I'm excited like all Tennesseans. I'm excited about what they're doing this year with the SEC schedule. I think it's definitely going to be a lot of fun for the fans, and I'm looking forward to it. I just saw that schedule as well, and of course the coaches were on in here predicting the wins and losses and things like that. So you know, we'll see what happens.
Coach, it's always a pleasure. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. And it's going to be something on at the end of August when Trinity Christian Cedar Hill makes its way from Texas to Knoxville to take on the Fighting Irish. Stay well, be safe, and we'll talk again very soon.
I wish you guys the same. Thanks for having me. Always love talking to you guys, and have a great night.
All right, thanks, you Steve. As well. That's Catholic coach Steve Matthews joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The voices in our head may not be real, but they're loud and have some good ideas. This is 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. So you still have a handful of minutes to text today's keyword to 68683, and Jimmy will have two qualifiers from today's registration, and we appreciate everyone that's come by here at Food City, North Hall Road in Alcoa.
Yeah, thanks to Food City, and thanks to Body Armor as well. Fantastic. Just to go over the SEC upcoming schedule again, and we had discussed about the possibility of the teams playing the next two crossover games. Well, Alabama plays none of its next two crossover games. Neither does Tennessee, which picks up Auburn and Texas A&M. Neither does LSU, and neither does Missouri. And these schools are playing both of their next 2 years' crossover games, Georgia and Mississippi State. Everybody else in the league has one of a future crossover game, one of the next 2 years with a crossover game. So that's the way the schedule looks, and already reading some information on Twitter about the SEC made darn sure the extra conference games weren't going to cost the top teams a spot in the playoff, which is kind of what it looked like when I went over that schedule a little bit earlier. So there'll
it
be a lot of
at least a coincidence.
Yeah, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth here and second-guessing and head-scratching about this schedule. And it's going to be tough on a lot of teams. And I'm sure Sam Pittman at Arkansas is saying, who did I tick off in the SEC office?
Oh, my goodness.
With Georgia and Florida added to the fact that he's got four teams from the West that are top 15 teams. So he's got six opponents that are top 15 in somebody's preseason poll. That makes it very difficult for him. So we don't know when the actual dates and times of the games will be attached to the opponents. We just know the 10 opponents now. And hopefully soon we will find out the exact dates and times.
Yeah, and so it comes out. It came out earlier this hour, and who knows when that information will be released. But that I don't think there's any question. It'll be something to see. And also, is this going to be, as you were kind of thinking about, you might see a complete and total redraw of how a team's year can play out, as opposed to perhaps just dropping in the two opponents revealed today into open dates left by the non-conference schedule being pushed away?
I tried to look at that because I've got last year's schedule, and I tried to compare some of it, and it looked to me like it's going to be darn near impossible. I do think there's a chance that some of the games that were already scheduled for those dates could be played on the same dates, but I don't think it'll be a whole lot.
Yeah,
because I see too many openings and too many problems with conflicts. So I think some could be on the same date, but a whole lot of them will be on a different date, and that's going to complicate things as well. But at least we know who teams are playing. Not that they're happy about it, but at least we know.
Yeah. All it takes is the first one to come out, and then the gnashing of teeth starts. And it only amplifies, and this is going to be a very interesting and busy weekend for, I would imagine, a number of chat rooms and message boards.
Well, it will be, and I wonder if Greg Sankey will have some type of press conference or some, maybe on Feinbaum's show or something, to explain the thought process behind it. I'm not much on a hit and run, so hopefully they will announce something. It's kind of like the NCAA selection committee for the basketball tournament.
That's exactly what I was going to. Oh no, we didn't do this on purpose.
Yeah,
can always just we can prepare ourselves for the answers we're used to.
Yeah, got some explaining to do, so I want to hear the explanations. We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. Jimmy, have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, John. You too.
Sure do appreciate everyone that came by Food City here on North Hall Road in Alcoa. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Ben. Everybody, have a great weekend. This is Sports Talk.